What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Alba, again, he wasn't the lead, but I also was like, why not just make Idris Alba the lead? You know what I mean? It's like, again.
Yeah. I mean, was there, I can't remember, was, because I only saw it once, but was there a lead?
Yes. It was
Charlie Hunnam.
And the thing about Charlie.
Hands down the lead.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about Charlie is that.
Unquestionably.
When Charlie first started, I feel like people don't know, he was a comedic actor. Like he was on Undeclared.
Undeclared. Goodness,
he was like the British dude. Remember? He was like mad funny. And then he got super serious with Sons of Anarchy. And then in this movie.
He's great in Sons of Anarchy.
Phenomenal. He's still like, not saying he made jokes, but like he was loose. In this movie, I was like, why is he so stiff? That's not how he acts. Like he was so stiff in Pacific Rim.
Right. I did like him though. But you're right. He was more, he was supposed to be like a Han Solo type.
But he didn't have the Han, he didn't joke.
He kind of did, but not as much as like he does in other things. Yeah, you're right.
When did Pacific Rim come out?
Came out in 2013.
It felt forever.
Wow, this movie took a long time then, right?
It felt forever.
Yes, they actually were supposed to release the sequel that we're reviewing today. They were supposed to release it, I think, last year, and then it kept getting pushed back. It got pushed back.
Special effects and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, who knows?
But listen, I'm gonna tell you this, man. It's just Alba. He stopped the apocalypse. You know what I'm saying?
We're canceling the apocalypse.
Yeah, my man.
That was a great speech. It was great.
Halfway through that movie, I was like, no offense. I was like, I just don't. And I like Charlie Hunnam. I'm like, I just don't care. Because I got Idris in here, dude. Like, I just don't care. Like, every time Idris showed up, Idris and Mikey Day. I was like, not Mikey, Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
I was like, just put these two dudes in the movie, man.
Charlie Day was great. Well, also, Ron Perlman was in
Yes, Ron Perlman
was
in
great
it.
Too. It's funny, like, did you like Pacific Rim, James?
I liked it. I was talking about this with the person I saw the movie with yesterday. Like, I didn't see it in the theater, and I think that heavily affected. Like, I liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the movie, but, like, I was like, okay, it's fine.
How big was your TV you saw it on?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Was it 32 inch above?
It was like it was above 32, but it wasn't, like, probably wasn't that much.
Oh, man.
Like, I think my TV's like 40.
Ooh, you can't see it on no 40, baby.
Well,
you got
see,
to go 53 on my.
All right.
Yeah,
calm
it
down.
It wasn't. You know what I mean? It was like I wasted a lot of time watching it on that. So anyway, I liked it, but it was like I didn't get to watching this movie. Like I was just watching this one now. I know we're not talking about it, but watching this one now, I was just amazed at how big everything looked. So yeah, I knew that I'm in it.
Right. Yeah,
I
was trying to see it with somebody, but everybody was like, "I'm busy." And this was, this is before MoviePass. Like, I kind of usually didn't see movies by myself. Like, very rarely would I do that. Now I do all the time because of MoviePass. but I was like, fine, I'll see it by myself because I really wanted to see it, and I went and I. Loved it. I was in love because I guess, and I think it's because it just immediately started off with the action. It was just like, boom, here's what happened.
Kaiju.
This is what a kaiju is. This is what a Jaeger is.
Yep.
You know, they classify them in these categories. They came out of the Pacific Rim in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. It happened once, and then it kept happening, and then we built these robots, and then we thought we were okay, but then they kept coming, and we kept getting destroyed, and then people were like, we can't build robots, we just have to build walls, and that's where we are today. And you're like, whoa. It was like, boom, it like hit you all at once, like in the first 10 minutes, and I was like, yes.
I mean,
and I was
also,
super into it.
I really like Guillermo del Toro.
And Guillermo del Toro,
I will probably see anything he does, except for that horror movie. Let's leave that alone.
Which horror movie?
He did something like, it had no people of color.
Yeah, the Crimson Peak?
That, like,
yes.
Haunted House movie?
Yeah, the Haunted House.
It's like in a haunted house.
Crimson Peak.
Yeah, I was like, James, to defend you for seeing this not in theaters.
I think he did horror movies before, too.
I mean, yeah, but that was like his, you know. Like, James, even though we will never review this movie, I recently just saw Blade Runner. And I did not see
Blade Runner, the original?
The new one.
Oh, 2049.
And I did not see it on like...
Okay.
And not only did I not see it on a big screen, mm-hmm. I saw it on a plane. Mm-hmm. So I lost all the special effect goodiness of it by watching it on a small plane.
Wow. You saw Blade Runner on a plane.
I saw it
while you were uprising. You saw it on a plane over the Pacific Rim uprising.
You know, I'm going to just say this for the record. I don't
so
like... Listen, I understand you're going to do it. I don't like when you use something that I personally say to contribute to your...
All I was saying was that you were on a plane over the Pacific Rim.
I need you to say it again.
I don't... Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock. James III. Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Black actors, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City! I guess that makes sense.
What it's the like first the first boo? What was that?
The first sound, you know, that's the sound the Jaegers make, right? Like that's their sound, right? Like,
oh, when
like
they boost, when they're booting up, when they're booting up.
Yeah. Oh. And then it's also sort of the sound they make, like if they're like hit and then they're suspended in midair. It's like the sound, you know. The Foley artists are like, it's like a boo.
I was actually wondering what he was going to do because I had no clue what he was going to. I was like, I'm curious to know what he's going to take away from that movie.
Yeah, he could have just did a kaiju scream, I guess. All right. Well, anyway, I'm Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Jerah Milligan.
And my name is James III.
That's not that bad. I'll take it. Yeah, that's not bad. He's getting louder.
I still feel like you don't have to drag it out because we all are just saying our names.
Yeah. Really. James III.
Okay.
Why's your voice like that?
For those of
it's like an Orson Welles like radio play is what I was going for that time.
All right, man.
All right, well, this is great.
For those listening for the first time, we are a podcast that talks about we actually review films with leading black actors and we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
Because it's a thing.
It's getting better, I guess.
Now, we rarely get to do this, but today we are reviewing a film that just came out.
Oh,
which, honestly, is the third one we've done this year. So that's a pretty good start
year. Hey, baby, the first quarter of 2018. Right? We're getting all the black movies in the first quarter.
Yeah. This film, of course, is Pacific Rim Uprising, starring John Boyega.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it also has... Of course, returning in his role, Charlie Day. And then we have Tian Jing, Jin Zhang. And this girl's a person of color too, right?
Dorothy?
Now, who's Dorothy?
I think this is you're about to say her name.
Adria Jorna.
I know her because I watched a short-lived Wizard of Oz TV show on NBC called Emerald City, and she played Dorothy. And Dorothy was diverse, so she played Dorothy.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show.
Yeah, I thought... I actually loved The Wizard of Oz, so...
Oh, you know. Well, excuse me. so did I. The original.
Hey, The Wiz is great.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah, but I was just talking about Emerald City. Anyway, it also starred Scott Eastwood and Kaylee Spaney, which she's new, right? She hasn't really been anything before, this little girl. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, no, there's not much on her.
Yeah.
Also, one James and our agent, his client is in this movie, Shirley Rodriguez. She played Cadet. Was she? She was the Puerto Rican Cadet.
Oh right, she's like barely in the movie. But yeah,
I knew her from the Get Down. She was in the Get Down. That's how I knew her.
Now, of course, this is a sequel to Pacific Rim, which came out in 2013. This one was not directed by Guillermo del Toro. He couldn't direct it due to scheduling conflicts. It was directed by Stephen D. Knight.
Stephen D. Knight.
Stephen D. Knight.
Is a black dude?
No. Wait. Is
that brother named Knight? Hey, what do he look like?
Okay. He looks very white to me.
See, I think it's all right, how no, you're no. You're saying D. Knight like that. I think it's D. Knight.
Actually, James, after looking at his photo, you're definitely right.
No, yeah. It's funny because when you said that at first, like his first photo on IMDb is like, just dark enough that you're like, oh, maybe. And then I looked and I'm like, no, not at all. Interesting. Yeah. And also, what's the other thing we want to say? I mean, it has a 47% Rotten Tomatoes, but it has a better audience score, though not that much better, like 60-something percent.
I said it once, I said it twice, and apparently I said it in a Rotten Tomatoes interview. Don't believe Rotten Tomatoes. Did not realize that until that piece of article came out.
Google reviews has this movie at an 88%.
Yeah, Google.
Which I was like, really?
First off, Google has reviews?
I guess so.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everywhere has at this point, right?
But I think Google is just
McDonald's
just Google
reviews?
Users. It's just people who are liking. It's just 88% of the people hit thumbs up instead of thumbs down. No. That's all it means.
Twitter reviews.
And this movie is going to be the first film to dethrone Black Panther from
after
number
5
one.
Weeks, huh?
After 5 weeks.
Hey,
Wrinkle in Time couldn't do it.
T'Challa.
Tomb Raider couldn't do it. Isn't
I mean,
that
also
crazy?
It's been 5 weeks. So I'm like, bro.
It's also been 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's been like, come on,
right?
But also, hey man, let another
and it's
brother
barely
going
to dethrone it, but it is going to.
By like 5.
I like, yeah, one brother's taking another brother down. it's going to make it's projected. We're you know doing this before the official box office results come in, but it's projected to be around $25 million for the weekend. So
is that good though?
Well, it's always been an international play. The first movie also didn't do that well in the box office domestically, but it did really well in China and internationally.
That totally makes sense. This movie seems like a... Yes.
It's an international play.
Yeah,
for sure.
I get that for sure.
And that's all I have to say about it, because we can go into our initial thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to go first, Dra?
Yeah, sure. I saw the first one. I thought it was cool. Like, again, I like robots and, you know, monsters fighting, it makes sense. My only problem with the first one was that everything was dark.
Right.
So this one, the fact that a lot of things happened during the day, I was like, cool. I will say this. I went into this movie not really wanting to see it.
Right.
Like,
you didn't want
to I went it. Into this in this movie not a fan of John Boyega, to be honest.
Right. You were, right.
I was in the
you were but, like starting to be like questioning
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, I will say this. After watching it, I'm 100% in.
You're back in.
I'm 100% right? in. Because my thing about this, my thing about this movie is that, again, like, watching Attack of the Block, I was like, I guess he was good. Again, like, Star Wars, I was like, my man. Like, when I watched the first Star Wars, not the first one, what is it? Force Awakens.
Force
I was
Awakens.
Like, my man had Episode jokes 7. That I was like, these jokes ain't landing. Something's off. Mm. And then the second one, I was like, my man has no purpose. But this movie, mm-hmm. not only did my man had jokes, clearly he was improvising in this thing.
Right.
And watching it, I was like, this is a movie that Will Smith would have made in the 90s. And right. by that, I mean, it's... sci-fi mm-hmm. is big. He has a white co-lead mm-hmm. to like make him a little bit more like acceptable. He got to be the rogue dude
right.
with the funny jokes and right. like was the best at what he does. He got to do the Will Smith part, bro.
He did actually.
He got
right.
to do, and he got to be in almost every single scene. You know, even though we get to it, I think we needed more scenes without him and the new cadets, but I do think this was the John Boyega show, and he my man was charismatic, bro. Like, I watching the first 5, honestly, the first 3 minutes, we had that sequence of him just like being a party boy. Mm-hmm. And because of that first 5 minutes, I started going back to his interviews. And people started posting in his interviews what he does in his free time.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Boyega is reckless.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting like he's from the hood. Yo.
And he's young.
Yo, they had my man.
He's young. It's like he's rich, young, and famous.
Yo.
So.
They had him at like Carnival. Right. And it's legit.
I remember. I saw
yo,
that.
Yo, I was like, yo, this is what I would want. Yes. And honestly, I'm all in. The thing about him, though, now is that I understand I want him to do other things for sure. But I'm like, bruh, you need to do more stuff like this. Because he's so charismatic.
Right,
dude.
Right.
He's so fun. I thought the younger girl in this was great. I thought she had the emotional core of this movie. Scott Eastwood, you know, he looks like Clint, you know? I mean, no, I'm saying, like, he looks like Clint in his heyday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, like, there you go. Chalk one up yeah, on the good he side. Looks like he, looks Clint like, in his heyday. He looks like his father.
I mean, that's, honestly, that's why they put him in this movie. Like, let's be real. Like, because he was better in.
You liked him better in Fast 8.
Yeah, I mean, because he was fun. He was.
You know why he was better in Fast 8?
Why is that?
Because he was the punching bag.
Yeah. But also,
he was kind of
the
punching bag. And you're right.
But
you're
he
right.
was so stiff.
He
in
was
this.
Kind of punching bag in this. But it's supposed. But they're. But like the, kind of a part of the story is that him and John Boyega used to be partners, and they're kind of and they're reconciling that. So they're supposed to be a little bit of more heart. Like he's supposed to be respected in some sense. Whereas yeah. in Fast 8. No one respects him yeah. for the entire movie.
But I also think, too, that the reason that he comes off like that is because if he would have been funnier and it would have been, even if they would have had that combative mm-hmm. thing, it would have been a buddy movie.
Right.
Whereas, like, this movie is John Boyega's movie.
Right.
And again, I'm midway through this movie, I was like, I am all the way in. Like, right. I am, because it's a dumb popcorn film.
I'm so happy.
I'm
You're back
all
on,
the way in.
Back I'm, on
I'm in
John Boyega.
I'm in John Boyega. Like, listen, bro. Let's do it. Pacific Rim 3? I'm there, bruh. I'm there. Like, this shit was so fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm good.
Oh, man. Wait. Okay. Wait, James, do you want to go or do you want to finish it off?
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, I mean, like, I felt the same way. Like, I feel like he just doesn't have much of a character in Star Wars. And so, like, you kind of watch Star Wars and you're like, what? But with this movie, he just is such clear. He's so clearly a person that they are that he's rendering, that the writing puts into it, and so you're just like way more interested in him. I also thought that like the movie had respect for the fact that Idris Elba wasn't the lead but should have been.
Yes,
sure.
Like
yes.
it felt like the movie kept being like, man, how great is Idris Elba? Like he's great.
Yes,
like the they lines did. Were like referencing that.
They like painted like him saying, as the hero of the last movie, yeah. even though I mean he did something heroic, but like Charlie Hunnam was still the hero yeah. of the last movie.
You didn't even see his face right. anywhere. Yeah. They never mentioned him at any yeah. point in that movie.
They were like, let's forget this. Like this was a mistake. Why did we do that? And also like I said before, like that this was my I saw this one in the theater. I didn't see the other one in the theater. I was just immediately deeply invested in when the first when Scrapper is up against the first Jaeger, and it's like Scrapper already looked big, and then you know in the room, but then Scrapper next to the Jaeger, it was like, oh, this is insane how big this is.
yep.
And like that was just that had me hooked the whole time. Like just the scale of everything was so cool. I found myself deeply invested in like who's the villain and I thought Homegirl from Kong Skull Island was great.
Who's that?
Hold on.
Wait, she was in Kong Skull Island?
Yeah. Who? So she was the would be villain.
Oh.
But then Kong. Wasn't you,
That's
you know
Tian Ching, right?
There was an Asian yeah. woman in Kong?
Oh, you're right. She was in Kong yes. Skull Island.
Yes.
Wait, I'm trying
she,
to remember
like,
who
she didn't have much of a part. She was with
Dr. Dre. She was with Dr. Dre. Yeah. Remember it was Dr. Dre.
Yes, now she was I with remember. Dr. Dre. Oh my god, yes.
Shao, I think was her name in this movie. Or she was the leader of the Shao industry.
Well, you know you know where I know her from is the Great Wall, actually.
She's the lead in Great Wall.
She's one of the leads in the Great Wall. Well, Matt Damon's the lead, but yes.
Who?
But yeah, exactly.
I thought she was great. I really liked her in this a lot. And I found myself deeply invested in the story, even though like I felt like some of it was like thin, but I was like, oh man, like when all the kids are like, we're gonna get in the Jaegers now, I was like, no, not the kids.
Yes. Like, I was like, oh, these kids gonna die. Oh, the tears going down.
So much. Like, I felt, I was like, well, how did they manage to get me this interest? Like I was like, I feel like not much has really happened, but now the kids are getting the Jaegers, and I'm like, no, I love you guys. So anyway, yeah, I really liked it. That was great.
Guys, I freaking love this
movie. Yeah, I'm about to say, I figured you. I was like, you better have. John was the whole time before you got it. I mean, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be.
Well, I will say this. I think I did like Pacific. I did like the original better. But
did you?
I think I did. But that being said, I liked John Boyega a whole lot more than I liked Charlie Hunnam. Mm-hmm. And I thought Charlie did a good job in the first movie. And I was way more invested in the characters of this movie than I was in the first one. And I thought it did a really good job at not being super predictable, because there were times in which I was like, yeah, like the other wrote, like the drones are the bad guys, blah, blah, blah. But then it was like Jaeger brains in the drone.
I was like, wait, what?
Whoa, I didn't see that coming. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like the misdirect that happened between,
who the villain was.
Tien and
that was
Charlie.
Great.
That was cool. And yeah.
Yeah, so, that was awesome.
That was a great twist.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
It, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah. That's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Yeah, and so this movie, it was just super enjoy. Like, it was just a fun time at the movies. And it was a fun time at the movies that actually put care and effort into all the storytelling elements. Because I think there's a difference between a movie that is, you know, they say like, oh, it's just a blockbuster, it's fun. But it's like, cool, but that doesn't mean you don't have to put some sort of craft. It doesn't have to be innovative. It could still be cliche. We know that the heroes are going to win at the end of the day. The bad guys have somewhat kind of basic motivations. They just want to destroy the world or something like that. That's fine. But then within those archetypes, you know, put care into like the making of the film. Have, you know, complete the logical gaps and stuff like that, you know, as opposed to, and we were just talking about this with our producer, John, a movie like Battleship, which is just a generic action movie where you completely forget it because none of the story makes any sense.
Hey, did they say someone sank my battleship in that movie?
No.
Oh, what a waste.
I know, they should have, right?
You sank my battleship.
You sank my battleship.
Should have been Liam Neeson.
I also really...
It should have been Liam. He was in it. He was in it.
Yeah, it was just...
He was in it. That's true.
Honestly, you sank my battleship.
I completely forget if
And you sort of... You cast him because he's the only actor that can say that line and have you believe it.
Yeah.
That's like why they cast... It must have been in the script, and then they were just like, we can't do it.
Well, that's why they cast him in... what's it called? Wrath of the Titans or whatever.
Oh, really? As Zeus?
As Zeus, or where he just goes, release the Kraken, which in the trailer is such an epic moment,
so
and you're like, oh my god, I can't wait. And then in the movie, like the whole movie is so bad and dumb, and it's not until that part happens where I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like, thank God, Liam Neeson, thank you.
Yeah, but this movie, I mean, I cared about Scrapper.
Yes.
And Scrapper I was like, I was waiting for Scrapper to come into play. And then I was like, maybe Scrapper will never come back into play. And then, of course, he does come back into play. I was like, yes. Like,
I thought the movie was great, man.
So I had a lot of fun. And I know some people, you know, it's fine. Like, some people probably listen to this and be like, oh, I hated it. It was generic and blah. It was cliche. And, you know,
not every
it's
movie
fine.
Needs to have a message, yo. Like, why can't you just watch something that's just
or the
fun?
Message can be basic. Like, the message is.
I feel like this movie had a message.
It had a message, but the message is just like humans need to stick together to survive. Like, it's like overcoming your fears, overcoming your past, and the you know your tragic history that keeps you down. And
oh, yeah, he even says it. He's like, don't let your past and how people think your past defines you or something.
Don't let, what was it? What did he say? Actually, you're right. That was really
profound. He legit says the point of the movie.
He does. He says something to the effect of don't let what people think of you define
who you become or who you
are. Yeah, who you become. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's like, yeah, man, good for you. Hey, yo, John Boyega, bro.
And okay. And then the best part about this movie to me was John Boyega. And I will say that little girl.
That little girl was
great. They had great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. They were so funny together. Almost to a detriment of the movie because I cared way more about them two than him and his sister. So like,
But I think they knew that midway through.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, we just need to put John Boyega and this girl back together again because like, yeah.
But Kaylee was.
Okay.
But I mean, we'll talk about it.
All right, we got to go to commercial break.
Yeah. Before we do, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Paying them bills.
Hey, this is Jonathan Braylock. I got a word from our sponsor. Now, you know that Gerard sometimes refers to me as the one with the good hair. And I'll take it. I got some curly, luscious hair, and I'm okay with it. But here's the thing. 66% of men start losing their hair by age 35. That's freaky. Okay, I'm freaked out already because I like these curls. You know what I mean? But sometimes I'm in that shower, you know. Sometimes you're in the shower and you're touching your hair and like lumps of hair come out. And you're like, what? What is this? And if you say, John, that doesn't happen to me, then damn, I'm scared. And I got a problem, okay? And sometimes these weird solutions that people have, I'm like, are these real? Or is this some freaky voodoo stuff? I don't want that. Well, there is a solution. 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. All right, ladies, you know, we include you too, But, you know, if you not rocking with men, that's okay. This is for the men right now, okay? Because there's medical grade solutions, right? Real doctors offering well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions, okay? Because we need to keep our hair. Now, I'm not talking about herbal supplements, okay? I'm talking about prescription solutions backed by science. And there's no waiting room, okay? You don't have to go to the doctor and have somebody say, hey, what you here for? And you're like, come on, man. I got a receding hair. You really need me to say this? But you go online, go to 4hims.com, answer a few quick questions, and a doctor will review it and prescribe you, okay? And it comes directly to your door. You don't even have to leave your house. Order now. Our listeners will get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5. Today, right now, while supplies last, okay? Don't come up to us for a year from now, while supplies last. Now, see the website for details. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or had some bogus health insurance. But you don't. You got 4hims. Just go to 4hims.com/jump. That's FORHIMS.com/jump. 4hims/jump. Get that hair. Hey, guys. It's time for a word from our sponsor, and you know we're talking about Squarespace. Squarespace is the place to go when you want a beautiful website. You gotta turn that cool idea into a brand new website. You know we live in a digital world. So if you're thinking about showcasing your work, if you're thinking about writing a blog, selling products of any kind, promoting your business, you know, announcing an upcoming event, you need a website, and Squarespace is the place to go, okay? Now, I have a Squarespace website, johnbraylock.com. It looks great because there were beautiful templates created by world-class designers I got to choose from. You know I chose the best one because that's how I do. And everything was optimized for the mobile site right out the box, which, you know, if you don't have a mobile site, then you might as well not have a website anyway because everybody's on their phones 24/7, which, you know, we should probably talk about, but for now, that's okay. You got analytics to help you grow in real time. You have a built-in search engine for optimization, free and secure hosting, nothing to patch or upgrade ever. It just kind of runs very smoothly. And if you did have a question, they have 24/7 award-winning customer service. So make it stand out with Squarespace. All you need to do is head over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code JUMP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's offer code JUMP, J-U-M-P, to save 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Websites are everywhere. Get one. That's the tagline I made for them. All right, we're back.
Yes.
We're talking about Pacific Rim Uprising. What did you want to say, James?
What?
Or you want
to? Oh no! Well, I wanted to talk about a specific, like, we'll talk about it when we get to it.
All right.
Yeah.
So, just a real quick recap. It starts off, does a little narration thing. Basically, it's just like it's been 10 years since the end of the first movie, and in the end of the first movie, for those who don't know, it's like these monsters that they call kaiju. I think it's just the Japanese word for monster.
Yeah, that's what Godzilla is.
Right, it's a kaiju. Right. And these monsters were attacking the Earth. They figured out through the course of that movie that it was actually aliens from another dimension that were.
Did we figure that out in the first one?
Yeah, we did. Well, here we figured out that there were aliens that were sending the kaiju over to destroy Earth.
Oh, I didn't even know it was aliens until this one.
Yeah, because there's like that brief moment where. In the end, where they're like, closing the breach, you know, you see them like look up and they're like, and then the nuclear bomb goes off or whatever and closes the breach. And that's the thing, it's like they close the breach and therefore no more monsters can get through. And it's been 10 years, but of course, you know, we're humans, we're cautious, so the Jaeger programs are like, they're still happening, they're just in case, because people aren't super paranoid that they're gonna come back, but they're still there. But also it's like the world is still recovering from all of the damage that was done. It was like essentially if natural disasters happened in like a bunch of major cities, it's going to take
more
than a
decade. So was America and everything gone? It's just Japan and
Australia? No, it's not that everything's
Australia.
It's mostly coastal. It was mostly coastal cities because the kaijus would come out from the ocean. So it's just like, you know, a lot of like New York, San Francisco, Tokyo, Hong
Kong.
Get
out of New York, man. If something happened in New York, bro, like,
LA too.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. We gotta get out of these coastal cities because that's if something's gonna go down, that's where it happens.
That is where it happens. But so and the idea was that the world is recovering. You know, things are somewhat getting back to normal, but you still have like certain parts of certain cities that never recovered, and that's where we find John Boyega because he was like, yeah, that was my father, but you know. I didn't live that life. I left the academy. I'm all about stealing, you know, Jaeger parts and living.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that was
hot
so cool
sauce.
About him, I think that stuff was so cool because he's like, things out here are different. And we get, again, I just want to talk about John Boyega for a second. Like, he gets the chance to be that rogue white guy. The whole time he was doing stuff, I was like, yo, this is what it looks like. Because to me personally, like, I haven't seen a young black dude get a chance to do that stuff since Will Smith. Michael B. Jordan doesn't get to be that smooth and shit, to be truthfully honest.
Right.
Like, there's no one who gets to do it. So this is the first time I actually saw it. So my man is literally a rogue. Has the cool outfit. He hustles somebody in the first 10 minutes. You know, like, when he's running around. It's like, this is what you want. This is the fun shit. This is, like, literally, and as you guys were saying, I understand certain movies are cliche. I'm like, oh, he gets to be I don't want to go back to that life.
Right.
But I got to go back. Like, he gets to do that thing.
Right.
You know, like. I honestly just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And the thing is, my man was so smooth. When he was partying, he had a good time. And when he hustles this guy early on, like, oh, this is your Indiana Jones moment. This is your Han Solo moment right here.
Right.
Bless his heart for that, man.
But what I thought was also really cool about that, too, was that, like, he was hustling the guy, but also
getting hustled.
Actually being stolen from. Like that was really cool about it because it was like, you know, you're like, yeah, like, he is a hustler very clearly, but also he definitely doesn't know where that device is. Like, he doesn't know where it is. I thought that was really cool.
And I like that they got him and the girl together very quickly. It was like the movie just started.
It was right off the bat. It was like,
get them together.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I loved about the first Pacific Rim movie. It just got right into it. Like, let's get into it. Enough of this, you know, like, you got it. You get the picture. All right, here we go.
Also, I loved it, like, when he finally goes to her and they get in Scrapper. I love, like James brought up earlier, I love how big, I guess, the police, like, Jaeger was. And the fact that as fast as Scrapper was going, that big Jaeger could just, like, walk and catch up.
Right. So, just for scale, Scrapper is probably, like, 2 stories tall. Like, the size, you know, like, the size of a, well, maybe three. Maybe 3 or 4. Like, 3 or 4 stories. And then this other Jaeger is, like, clearly, like, 60 stories. Like,
it was great. At one point, Scrapper's just rolling around the bigger Jaeger's feet, and he goes, really? Really?
Yeah, the guy who's operating.
He's like, really?
Really? Yeah.
Honestly, I will say this. Normally, I get mad at movies that just throw in a bunch of comedy to throw it in. But they were throwing in one-liners and stuff like that so much that I was like, I respect that you guys are doing this.
But I don't know. And I honestly still have to figure out why it feels different in some movies than others. But the comedy, most of the comedy in this movie never felt forced to me. It felt like genuine and it rolled with the story. If you're operating a huge giant robot and you're a police, you're essentially the police, and this other little unauthorized robot is running around, and you're like, please deactivate. Like, I'm obviously going to catch you. And they're like, no. You'd be like, really? Like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
don't do this.
And like, John Boyega's, like, his whole character was essentially somebody he just kept, you know, he was a little cocky, kept talking about how pretty he looked.
The one thing he did I thought was great, and it's something that I want. I feel like I've only seen it in 2 movies recently, or at least big budget movies. It was this movie and Deadpool. I feel like we live in a world where, like, most men do the thing, pause, because they don't want to be considered gay, which is so stupid. But at one point, I'm pretty sure we get to it soon, he describes Scott Eastwood's character. He's like, yeah, I mean, he's so angry, but he's so beautiful. And he's like, he is a very beautiful man.
He's handsome.
And I was like,
he's handsome and sexy. Yeah.
I loved that only because I'm like, my man is, John Boyega's character is so secure in himself that he can openly be like, yeah, I mean, that dude's beautiful.
Right.
You know, like that dude's a beautiful dude. I thought that was
so funny.
So subtle.
It also felt like that, but like, was their relationship also like it felt like there's just been this thing between the two of them where John Boyega is always like, I'm the beautiful one, but he's like, damn it, how is he still turned out to look as good as he does or whatever. Like that felt like storytelling to me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, and also the thing I love about John Boyega, and I hope this isn't a diss, but John Boyega never looks like he's in shape to me, and I don't mean that in a real way. He looks like a normal dude.
Right.
So the fact that this normal dude keeps talking about like how handsome he is when I'm looking at Scott Eastwood, who clearly is like,
yeah,
looks like Clint Eastwood and is in really good shape.
Yeah, like a jawline.
Yeah, it's like,
I think he even says, John Boyega says the line something like, well, that chin implant is looking real nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he is just like a perfect,
perfect specimen,
perfect masculine chin.
I thought it was great, man. I thought he did a really good job. And I guess the point of this movie is that it does well overseas. So like, it's definitely, which we talk about a lot, man. I feel like I rarely see Asian actors in movies, and it's like, for the most part, even though, you know, John Boyega is the lead, there's so much diversity. There's a Puerto Rican, like, there's so much diversity in this movie. I'm like, oh, this is dope.
Right, and this little girl. Which is so cool that they have her, even like just for gender roles too. Like, yeah, because she's all, I mean, I don't know exactly what age she is, but it seems like she's like 13.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, and she built this Jaeger, the small robot. Even though it's only like three stories, it's like she built it herself. She calls it Scrappy, because all the Jaegers, all these big robots have their own names, which is cool. And she calls that one Scrappy. She can pilot
Scrapper.
Scrapper.
But she also gets to pilot by herself, which I think
and
is
she
like...
And she's like, he's like, all right, where's the other thing? She's like, no, it only needs one. It's small enough that it only needs one. And then he's like, well, let me pilot. I'm good. And she's like, no, I'm piloting.
Yeah. tell me what to do.
Yeah, tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do.
Which is such a... Yeah, that's, you know, and normally you don't see women in roles like that. And it's great. So, so we have all... Basically, they get thrown in prison. And they, you know, it's like, hey, either you go to jail or since you guys are obviously skilled with this robot, you can come and join the Jaeger Corps.
My man has jokes in that point. At the end of that scene, he's like, did she just hologram me? I was like,
because she left.
I was like, my man, I know it sounds so dumb, but he gets to be the funny rogue guy. Yo, he gets to be Will Smith, yo. I was watching this and I'm like, he gets to do more Will Smith things in this movie than Will got to do in Independence Day, which put Will on.
For sure, because Independence
Day. Even Will wasn't the rogue. He was like only the rogue in Men in Black. And then every other character he played like wasn't the rogue. Like Mike Lowry isn't really he's like a dedicated cop who just like occasionally is like, I'm a shoot whoever, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. Right. But he cares about his job and and all that stuff. Yeah. He's not going, he doesn't have the, what is it? In the hero's journey when you deny. The journey.
Oh yeah, like you get the call and then you deny the call.
He
and
denies
then you,
the call, right?
You know,
and John Boyega does
it. Comes to you. Like that. Now, yeah, that. Yeah,
I do love once they get to the base. First off, I was like, wait, this all right? This is the only thing I disliked about the movie. I was like, wait, so all the Jaegers are in one place? Like we don't have no backup Jaegers? Like we don't have no like? There's no backup like facility.
That's a good
anywhere?
That's a good question because I didn't know if that was true, if they really were, or I forgot if they made a passing comment that all those drones in other places destroyed the Jaegers in other places in the world.
I think maybe that happened. Oh, maybe.
But you're right that it was confusing. It seemed like they were all in one place. But I think that was just like the
main. That was just the base.
That was just the main headquarters.
Oh, I loved when we meet, how do you say her name? Andrea?
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 Oh, yeah.
First off,
Adriana.
This woman is beautiful.
I mean,
and I love again that instead of making her like the love interest, which clearly this would have happened in a normal movie and would have caused some like type of, you know, three-way love triangle. I love that they kind of started it, but like no one fed into it. So yeah,
it wasn't an integral part of the movie. Though I will say she didn't really get she got less to do because of it. Yeah. Almost.
I thought she was gonna be a pilot or something at one point.
I think was she not?
She was a mechanic. To me.
Oh, she was a mechanic.
She was a mechanic. But it was so funny because go ahead, James.
Well, no, it just did kind of feel like a bit of a downer for me that like not only was she not a love interest, but like she was then only there for this kind of weird potential love triangle that was like never explored, but like always kind of under the surface, you know, and like referenced in jokes. But then beyond that, she didn't have much of a character.
Yeah,
I thought that was
I thought she was gonna pop up in like, you know how this is what I thought was gonna happen. I thought she was gonna pop up and then like be 10 times better than John Boyega and like be one of the catalysts to force him to like want to do something great. Like, you're right. I just expected her to do more, but I did kind of love like the, because I feel like that first scene and every time they do reference her, I did think it was funny when they get to that last point of like, well, that was confusing. Like when she kisses
him.
That
was hilarious.
I thought that was.
That moment was very funny.
Because they made it, because the thing is how that moment was shot, the camera kind of turned. It's like, oh, so it kind of isolated him. But then opened up John Boyega again, so I was like, "Wait, what's happening right now?" I thought that was such a funny.
See, that was actually the moment that bothered me the most about because it was just like it was confusing. Like it was like what
yeah,
it was
right.
like it was only confusing though because she didn't have much of a character. So then they were like, I was like, why is she? I mean, like I understood her kissing them because there was clearly a relationship and she was saying a goodbye. But it was also kind of like. But also, why is this in the like? Why is she?
I got you. I see what you're like, saying. No. You're making perfect sense. That makes
sense. Right. It was funny to me though. And then we kind of meet. We should establish that. What's her name? Tien is John Boyega's sister in the film, and it was established in the first Pacific Rim that Idris Elba adopted her. When he rescued her from a Jaeger, like in I forgot where she was, but
yeah, but her parents had died.
But her parents had died, and then he raised her. And you know, since John Boyega's character didn't exist in the first movie, he's like, yeah, and we're a brother and sister. But it was hard because we rarely saw them together. Like, because the first time we see them together, she is a hologram, and also there is, you know, like this. Somewhat language barrier thing that's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was hard to see them relate, especially because John Boyega, she always spoke in English and John Boyega never spoke in Mandarin, but I assume that she knew Mandarin, right?
It was confusing.
Yeah, it was a little...
I actually didn't... This was the thing that I was going to start to say before, because you were saying that you... didn't feel their kinship as much as you felt the chemistry between him and Amara.
Bit, yeah.
Which I would
no,
say
not,
that
not
he
Amara,
definitely...
the little girl, the what's her name? Camille. Or...
That's the little girl, Amara.
Kaylee. Oh, that's her name in the oh, you're right.
That's yeah, her that's her name in the movie. But and I would say they definitely did have a stronger chemistry, but the second his sister showed up, I was just like, oh right. And I bought into it immediately and really liked how there was a language barrier and felt really connected to their, it was like a weird thing. And maybe this is just a testament to the acting or what, but I felt like immediately keyed into this story in a way that was like, how are they doing this? we never saw them together ever. And for whatever reason, I feel very connected to it.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day.
Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Yeah, I didn't mind them together. I did like, did like her, you know, getting him to, you know, get up in Gypsy and come follow her. And the thing is so funny is like, this is one of those movies where you kind of can see what a setup's happening. I'm like, oh, cool. They're going to get in the suit and then some shit's going to go down.
Right.
But
she's a huge part in the first movie.
Yeah. I mean, because she has to bond with, what did they call it? They have to,
Drift.
Drift together. Ooh. Wait, is this the part? When does John get to drift with the young girl? Is that before he gets up in Gypsy? No. Okay, yeah. It's not there yet. No, it's after. It's after. Because after his sister dies.
Yeah, the whole thing happens before. Like, the first attack happens before they drift.
Before her. Yes.
Because I do like when they...
But we see the cadets, though.
Yeah.
We're introduced.
Cadets I liked.
We're introduced to all the cadets, and then there's like this minor plot line that happens between Amara and the Russian.
Why do Russians always Russians? Yo, if you're Russian or German in a movie, you're the bad guy no matter what.
Yeah, but then she.
It's just our history with them.
Yeah,
it's America's history.
Hey, it's not just our history.
We'll
it's our
present.
It's our present.
Present.
But I mean, it's you know what I mean. It just sort of never is never going away.
Yeah.
It's an endless cycle.
Yeah,
I mean, but I did like that. The one thing I did like is when they get to the. I guess the vote or whatever, and the new Jaeger comes in. It's so funny because I've always felt like Gypsy's the weakest Jaeger. Like even in the first one,
well,
I was
he's the most basic
the
one.
The basic Jaeger.
He's the most basic Jaeger, and he has one sword. He's essentially Leonardo from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, he is.
He's Leonardo from Ninja Turtles. Yeah. You're like, yeah, he's the leader, but like.
Does
anybody really want to be him?
Because I'm like, yeah.
It's like, I'd rather even be Donatello. Like I don't know.
Smart,
it's just
he got
cooler.
Gadgets.
Yeah, it's just like, it just seems cooler. Like
They didn't upgrade him at all.
No, like, he's the same.
The same dude. And I'm like, what?
Well, no, that's not true. They did
at
give
the
him
end,
that gravitational whatever thing.
Did he didn't have that? He didn't have that in the first one?
I don't think he did. James?
I think he did.
That's
oh, he
not
did?
How he threw.
Yeah, I think he did, bro. He had... My man had no upgrade.
Isn't that how he throws the boat or no?
No.
He pulls the boat.
Yeah, he just grabs the boat and uses that as a sword.
He just drags the boat down the street.
I don't remember maybe he did, but I don't remember like that. I was like, oh, whoa, he could just like take metal and just throw it. Like,
I mean, I thought that was cool, but also when that new Jaeger came in, I was like,
I know that new Jaeger.
This Jaeger's fast. I was like, first off, how'd that new Jaeger get built, but you still slow as shit? I was like, this don't make no sense. So we just upgrade another robot and you just
I was immediately like, well, this is obviously Shao. This is how it's like.
Right.
The second it comes out, it's like, if they want us to think it's anything other than Shao, they're insane.
I think that was the only time in the movie where I turned over. I've watched what my friend was. I turned over and I was like, I mean, isn't it obvious to everyone who's controlling this robot?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's a drone. And I was like, yeah, so why is literally no one questioning it?
Yeah.
Like, not one person is like, wait a minute.
And they're all like, hey, let's get all the drones out here now.
And the thing is, all I needed was just a couple of lines for them to be like, do you think Shao sent that? And they're like, Shao almost got killed. And somebody go, you're right, you're right. Okay.
I
just wanted that. That's all I wanted. I just wanted a couple of lines.
I like that Shy was like, I like that they set her up as the big bad. I was like, oh shit, we got this woman big bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was dope. Yeah, because also this new Jaeger had two swords, and then they were on fire.
I was like,
and then he could shoot like a fire beam from his chest,
and he could like flip. My man was limbo. I was like my man is super nimble. Like again, Gypsy. Because wasn't that the thing about Gypsy in the first one? Gypsy was one of the last gasoline ones or something. That like
it was one of the older ones because. Yeah, it was an old one.
Yeah, it was an old one. That's the reason they could use it, because the other ones were like...
Anyway. Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
The point of them using Gypsy, because Gypsy
was
like...
It was nuclear-powered still or something. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they updated it, but I thought that was interesting. I loved... Not that I loved, but I really did like that when his sister died, I kind of liked the slow motion trying to save her, like, and missing the grab.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought that was cool. I thought they were going to save her, and they didn't. Actually, I figured they were going to kill her, but I thought it was going to be, like, much earlier in that scene. You could just get blown up. And again, I love that scene.
And this was the thing, just particularly Jin's death was major for me, because it was like, I'm sorry, not, what am I saying? What's his sister's name?
I've been saying sister.
Like, the actress's name is Tien. Sorry, that's not true. The actress's name is Rinko. Mako Mori is the character name.
So the thing about her death that was like amazing was that I thought they gave her two chances to see that she was gonna die. So it was like oh no, and then the one time it doesn't happen, so then when it happens the second time you have hope that it's that, you know, and then on top of that there's the whole slow motion and him trying to catch it, and like I don't know, like I was like when she died I was like, this is so sad. It was like so sad.
Yeah, man. I thought they set it up well, man. I really did. And I did like that the moment it ended, you go back and now he's with the young girl who is also struggling, and then we finally get to see, so like John Boyega, his character has an immediate death. Now he has no family, basically. And then we realize shortly after that the young girl has no family. And technically, which I thought was really cool about it, when they do that flashback, technically when she gets split up from her parents on, you know, the boardwalk, they die because they're trying to save her. Like, and it also shows that the Jaegers the Kaiju are just, they don't give a shit about humans. And they just step on them as they're walking. Like, it's not even a big deal at all. So I thought that was interesting, and they had that cool connecting moment.
Yeah, and she had said earlier in the movie that, because John Boyega's character was like, why did you even build this thing? Like, you weren't going to sell it? Like, what? Why didn't you build it? And she's like, because the Kaiju are going to attack again. And when they do, I'm not going to be helpless this time. And then we finally got to see that when they drifted together, and you were like, oh, snap. And it was kind of also a recreation of, in the first movie, we saw Mako Mori's character, like, witness. We don't see her parents dying, but we, like, see the destruction that this Jaeger is that the Kaiju is causing when she's a child. Like, we had that same, like, kind of child perspective flashback, which... It's really cool. And I don't know. I wish it hit as hard for me as it did with you, James. I guess I kind of just wanted to see like one more scene with the two of them as brother and sister, where they were a little bit more like jokey, like friendly with each other. Like we saw the love a little bit more and less
combativeness. That makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, and then the other plot lines that are happening is that we have, you know, this whole drone, like they're making drone Jaegers because drones are better. I mean, you know,
it's so safer that was like for people.
Yeah, it's like very contemporary. But like, obviously, all the pilots are like, no, we're pilots. You know, this isn't a video game. So, you know, very loose.
That's the thing.
Pretty basic, you know, taking it from modern day life and putting it into this movie. And then Charlie Day is helping with these drones, and you kind of realize like something's up with him. We see him like come home to his apartment, and he's like talking to somebody as if he's talking to a wife or a girlfriend. And then we go into his room and he has like this Jaeger brain.
Yo, it's just, yeah, he's just talking to a Jaeger brain. I was so confused at what was happening. I was
A kaiju brain. Yeah.
I was like, why is he having sex with the, I was like, when he put
he
it
said
on,
something to the effect of like, because the other guy, the other scientist said, I still have nightmares from when we drifted with that kaiju. And he was like, yeah, but it was such a thrill, right? And
he's like, oh, what? That's okay, gotcha. I was like,
yeah, he like got some high, like it was almost like a drug, but then it was corrupting him.
And it's so interesting because like once we found out that the drones are being taken over by the kaiju brains, I was like, oh, this is so fascinating. And also what's interesting is when Xiao comes in and she's like, how did you do this? He's like, everything you do is automated. So it was so easy just to put a little bit of something here, a little bit of something
right,
there,
which is something they said before. They were like, oh, and anybody could hack this. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, and the thing that's, and the reason I even bring that up is because, you know, right now we're going through the thing with Facebook. We're going through it with, I mean, honestly, I'm literally checking my emails. I just got something from like Microsoft saying, hey, someone hacked into our systems. We're notifying you. I'm like, yo, it's apparently very easy to just take a bunch of
information. It's true. Cybersecurity is not even close to being perfected. And the reality is there have been huge information breaches in so many major companies.
Yeah.
Obviously, Target was a huge one.
Yeah.
There's so many different, like, where people could just take your identity. They could take your money. They can, like, you know.
If we have any hackers listening to this right now.
No, don't do this.
No, I'm just saying, if we have any hackers listening to this right now, if y'all want to, like, go into Sally Mae and just, like, you know, take out my debt, you know, like I'm almost done, but a brother could use some help. I'm pretty sure some other people could use some help. Because Sally Mae be getting me, man.
All right,
I just saw.
Yeah, if that's the point of a hacker is to erase
people's debt,
my debt.
That's a literal.
Please do it.
Yo, that's literally the plot of Mr. Robot.
Is it
of the first season of Mr. Robot?
There's like now, and this is the last tangent I'm going. There's now. Can I find it? Now there's a Michael B. Jordan from Black Panther when he goes, "This is your kid."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now that's become like a famous meme, and I just saw one earlier, yeah, and it was like Sally Mae, "This is your paycheck." This is your paycheck. And I'm like, hey, yo, someone.
Yeah, I saw that.
Someone get Sally, okay? Because Sally's messing up my life. Anywho. John,
now, I will say at this point, I was getting a little bit anxious because I was like, all right, a lot of this movie is taking place, but we still haven't had the robots fighting the monsters yet. And the robot versus robot action is cool. It's
but
new.
John came here for the monsters.
Hey,
John yeah. came.
I came
the
here to see giant robots fight giant monsters, not just other yep. giant robots. So let's please get to that. So that was my one other complaint about the movie was like it took a little while.
Did it come to the last 30, 40 minutes?
It didn't come till the end, but kind of like. Actually, no, that's a bad example.
What?
I was gonna say like Batman versus Superman, but that.
I mean, no, but it didn't. That the fight didn't happen to the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say this.
It did at least. It was a good fight.
Yeah, I do think it was funny because once the kaiju actually started showing up.
I'm actually thinking like it's really not much else to this movie.
Yeah, it's like no,
like what else is there?
Nothing. Like she gets kicked out, but then the kaiju show up or whatever. And I think was the one thing I thought was cool, right? Is that I think James said it earlier. Is that once I realized these kids they have to go into the Jaeger suits. I'm like, bruh, how are you gonna do this movie? Because I'm like, usually in these movies. People die. So I'm like, are you going to kill these kids? Like, are kids going to die in this movie? Because they're kids, you know, and they let you know that they're kids.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah. And the thing that's kind of dope about it is that the kids do get that fighting chance. And I love that as the kids are fighting the kaiju, they're like giving the fingers.
Right.
They, like they're
very,
doing kid
cool.
stuff. Like, oh, man, these guys ain't that bad. And they get super cocky. I do love the moment that someone in my theater goes, let me not laugh. Someone in my movie theater goes, Megatron! And they just like... Because literally the kaiju just...
Oh, when
like, they come together and make... Because I didn't know what the hell was happening. I was like, are they just healing them?
I thought they were healing them.
And then they become one giant monster.
Yeah.
What are those called? Those are called like Constructicons, right?
Constructicons.
When they combine different...
Constructicons.
What? It also didn't make sense because they were very clearly individual creatures. Like, how, like,
bruh.
Like, what even happened?
I didn't know how it happened, bro. I had
to
no
be honest,
clue.
I
The plan was for several of them to all come out, but only three of them happened. So how did those three perfectly create another creature? What? Like, I was so confused, but also it was like, this is amazing.
The very small justification is that the kaiju themselves are biological weapons, were created by these things. So I guess they're just trying to say it's like some technology. Like, if we can create one, then why wouldn't we be able to combine the other ones?
Oh, right. Yeah.
But one, this freaking moment was ruined in a trailer.
And it was that moment?
First trailer. Yes. And I hate that I saw the trailer for this movie, but in the trailer of this movie, they didn't show them combining, but they did show that's a big one. And I was like,
oh, that damn, come on.
No,
John.
But I did. I knew it was coming.
No.
Because I was like, I know that only three kaiju came out. And then when there are three and then the things are coming, I was like, I'm waiting for the moment for them to say that's a big one. So it must be the fact that these three are about to combine.
John.
It was so easy to put together, and it's only because of the trailer. I hate trailers.
You just can't watch them, bro. That did nothing for me.
Because I didn't see the trailer at all. And so,
the same thing is about to happen.
One of the biggest things I kept saying was, this movie is so surprising. Everything's surprising me. But then I was like, I guess that wouldn't be the case if I saw. Like, when they start combining, I was like, oh my gosh. I actually had the thought for a moment, was this in the trailer? Because that would be horrible.
It's so bad. That's so fascinating because you could tell me the whole movie and I'm like, it does nothing for me.
I hate it. Because there were some good surprises in this movie. I was surprised by certain parts, but that one I wasn't. And I'm telling you, when we review Rampage.
What do you mean? When we review it,
I was trying not to watch a trailer, but I was like, yeah, I saw the first trailer for that movie, and I was like, you guys are showing the end of this movie already. You're already telling me that this giant gorilla is going to turn around and fight the other giant monsters. Like, come on, you're ruining it.
Perfect, so we don't need to watch
it. But I didn't think that that was ruining it. I thought that that was like, oh yeah, this is how we get to play a character from the game. Right? There has to be a character that we play, you know? Like we can't just be attacked by the thing.
I mean, that is the game.
That is the game.
The game is we get to play. We get to be the monster destroying the city.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's the game.
Is that what that game is about?
Yes. I have no idea how they're making a movie from a game.
I think it's just a fighting game, right? It's just a fighting game.
It's just an arcade game where you go... You're a monster and you're destroying a city. And the more you destroy the city, the more points you get.
Wow.
And the bad guys in that are
cops, the people
and the military. Yes. They're shooting you with guns and blasting you with rockets, and you have to destroy them and not get killed by them.
Wow. Hollywood, you're doing great.
But
the cool part
back to this,
you know, we get to the point
can we say there's certain cool moments when he's throwing the buildings down on that monster, that was dope as hell.
You're like, man, how many buildings does it take?
Also, the first time where he bum rushes this kaiju, and it kind of just backslaps him, and he goes flying, and the other one the other one kind of slides, and they see the other robot kind of flying over them. I thought that was really cool.
I like when one guy smacked through a building and they made the other Jaeger trip, and it just fell. There was no dramatic, it just slid and fell. I was like, this is such a random moment, but good because they're kids.
Right.
Also, even though since we're talking about cool moments, when early on, we already skipped it, but when Gypsy first does the first drop, before any of the bad stuff happens, and they can barely stand up. No, sorry, I'm getting stuff mixed up. At the end of this, when the girl starts to drift with John Boyega, and they try to stand up, and they kind of fall, and he goes,
"Oh yeah, they make
the punch,
in the hand, and then they fall."
And he's like, "Well, that wasn't epic." I was like, "Yeah, man, I love that kind of wink to the camera." You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Also, John Boyega's speech, before he gave his speech, he was like, if my father was here, he'd make some cool, epic speech about canceling the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not my father. But then he does a huge epic speech.
And I thought it was cool, man.
I don't know why. I'm telling you, in certain movies, that kind of stuff would really bother me. And in this movie, I was like, yeah.
Because you know the thing about this movie I think that makes it different is that everyone was on board with that thing in the movie.
Right.
Like, this movie was one of those movies where it was serious, but it wasn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like everybody knew what kind of movie they were making. And it was like, we're making a popcorn film, you know? And like, it's going to be fun. And so when he did that speech, there were no crazy, dramatic, overly top. It was like, oh, man, we're all having fun in this movie. And John Boyega, like, he was having a damn good time, bro. Like, I'm so happy he was having.
That's true. He was having fun.
Dude, he had one scene where, like, he's making, like, when Scott Eastwood is talking to him in the kitchen and he tells him what the ice cream is, my man... There's a close-up of a man just digging his hands in the sprinkles.
Oh, and he was like, don't you think you have enough toppings? And he said, don't you mess with my toppings.
Yeah. Like, and then he starts eating the sprinkles just out of his hands.
Like, don't you mess with my toppings. And then they put some more sprinkles on.
I loved it, dude. And every time Scott tries to talk, he does the
whipped cream.
The whipped cream was like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, that was fun.
This is fun. It was just fun. They saved the day. And again, I love that Scrapper came back. Cause I was like, yeah, I was waiting for Scrapper. I was like, how is Scrapper?
Scrapper comes back to get the other rocket.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I got to talk about before we talk about Scrapper. All right. Missed opportunity of the movie though was like my man, the little boy, the smallest kid was talking about how like if I die, I want you know 6-10 Jaegers there or whatever it is, and they like make a joke. He's the only one who says if I die this, and then. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly the only... You're like, okay, well, this kid's going to die. Like, you, like, know it's going to happen.
I knew immediately.
They didn't do anything with the Jaegers. They didn't do anything with the Jaegers when he died. There was no, like, Jaeger salute or any kind of, like...
I thought it was going to happen, but the movie just ended, bruh. Like, once they won the day, it was just, all right, we did it.
It's true. They defeat the last thing. They have a couple of jokes. And then
that's it. That's the movie. The movie,
and then the credits came out. I was like, "Oh, no post,
nope.
no recap, no like,
no. This is the epilogue. Program now. Nope,
there is zero."
I'm like, "All right, they spent all the money.
Yeah,
all the money is
all
gone.
The money is gone. We ain't got no time to wrap this up to mourn
We're
the dead.
Money.
The money's gone.
There's no.
They didn't leave the next location.
No, they
the
didn't
moment
leave
they
the
were
location.
On the ground,
wait, they like, didn't leave the next location, and also Shao was just gone. Where did Shao go?
No. Wait.
It was just John Boyega.
No. It was a drone, brah.
Oh, yeah, Shao was
she
in a drone.
She put a drone in Scrap.
She was a drone.
Oh, she was in a drone.
Yeah, she made Scrappy a drone.
She was in Scrapper,
right,
but she was
controlled.
Right.
Also, yeah, I love that she became a good guy and a hero at the end.
I think the whole thing, that was all a misdirect, and she actually was... She was in good faith trying to deploy these drones. She actually didn't set up that attack, even though we think she did.
Because she says at the beginning, she's talking to Charlie Day, she's like, I've worked my whole life for this. And it makes like she wanted to save
And she's like,
day.
In a way, the attack was a good thing.
That was
and Charlie Day was
joke
like,
that I really liked when she brings Scrappy there, and then they're like, I put a welder onto his, and then she's like, I was going to do that. And he was like, no, you weren't going to.
Yes, I was.
You weren't going to do that.
Because you know what it was? They still make them kids. Like, even though John Boyega is supposed to be older, you can still tell he's supposed to be young, and you're dealing with teenagers. And I like the fact that they just made them kids. And like, kids bigger.
Oh, I also really love the fake out when they do their final thing where they just like use this rocket fuel to come and then like drop on this final kaiju like a missile. Like an asteroid from space, and then it hits it, and it falls down, and then almost immediately it starts getting back up, and I was like, "Damn!"
I thought so. I was like, "Oh man!"
I was like, "Damn!" I was like, "Is Scrappy gonna have to kill this thing somehow?" Yeah. And then it immediately falls down, and I was like, "Oh okay."
I was like, "Bro, you lost, you lost."
I will say, I liked all of this. The only thing that was a little bit lame to me was this idea that even in the, like, they kind of, like, rewrote the first movie and said the reason that the Jaegers were going through the cities wasn't because they were just trying to destroy them. They were trying to go to Mount Fuji. And I was like,
I think they were trying to make sense. Cause, like, the first one didn't make... Like, the first
I know, you're right.
No,
like, the first one, it was like, there was no lie. It was like, why are they destroying the Earth?
What was the point? And you never
It was just like, no, they just... It was just like this other alien species found Earth and they wanted to kill all life on the planet.
Yeah. So I'm happy they, like, discussed it. I do love that they set up the
I do like
one.
That it was, that the idea was they were trying to create their own, I guess, atmosphere on Earth, right? Like, wasn't that the... They
yeah,
said
yeah.
something about Basically, terraforming
Yeah, they were
the
trying
Earth.
To terraform it. In-
yeah, but...
I was reading an article about how that so rewrites the first movie because the idea of the first movie was like, our atmosphere is perfect for them. So they they were saying, like, a part of the first movie is like how great Earth was for the kaiju.
For the kaiju.
And now they were like, no, actually, Earth sucks for the kaiju. Like, it, they completely
I know.
Just said, like,
this was a reboot.
They kind of rewrote it in this way that was like, I wish they didn't have to do... I wish just specifically about the trajectory of where the kaiju were going, because I was like, well, if the first movie was as simple as this, one of these monsters needed to get into a volcano, then, yo, bro, they would have succeeded in that first movie because it was like, they didn't know that, and easily a monster could have just walked into the volcano, and they would have let it.
Yeah.
You know? So that was my only thing. But... other than that, it was super fun, and this post-credit scene,
which was super quick,
which was quick and kind of funny, but I did like the idea of what if they go to their planet.
I love that idea.
Let me hear.
Here's the thing. I love that as a sequel. Like, I would watch the hell out of that.
Yep.
Like, them in the kaiju land, whatever that is.
I would love that.
But the cockiness of this line.
Yes.
We're going to take the fight to them. Okay, have you seen any of these movies?
Y'all be losing, bro.
Every single one of the movies. The last moment of every single one. They are like, where are resources? We haven't got none.
This is the last, our last final attempt. That's it.
And my thing about that movie is, like, even if they do the sequel and it is in Kaiju Land, I'm nervous because, every movie is the same way. They get beat up. They're not prepared. And I'm like, if y'all going to be in Kaiju Land, how do you protect yourself? Like, what happens? Like, it's not like you can hide.
But I mean, what is it? Is it just going to be for whatever reason, we decide to open the breach and then we just send an army of Jaegers?
Yeah. And then they all just...
What?
Does it become a war movie? Is it now the Jaeger war movie? Ayo. Honestly, I'm ready for it. I'm in. If John Boyega's
elite, it's gonna make $1 billion, but it makes no sense.
Bruh, I'm in. I'm
100%. I don't think it's making $1 billion. I actually don't think it's gonna be a sequel because I don't think this movie's gonna make that much money.
I think it might do okay here. I think it's fun enough, but then also, man, internationally, the last one made $300 million, and that literally came from overseas.
$300 million overseas.
I just want to talk to Hollywood though.
Oh, okay.
Because this is my thing, Hollywood. How you doing? Are you guys learning, Hollywood? Are you learning something? At the start of 2018, we're in March, baby. All right? We've seen Black Panther do wonderful things. We've seen Wrinkle in Time make it so that for a weekend, we had a black male director and a black female director at number one and number two. We're now looking at a black man starring a movie where he gets to do a part that normally black men don't get to do. And it's fun.
Yep.
Don't we want to branch out and do more of these? We saw, even though we haven't reviewed it yet, we saw Tomb Raider. Pretty good reviewed movie. It's like, it's doing fine. Female lead. We can do things, y'all. Isn't it fun to just see diversity and not have it be the point of your movie? It's just, hey, this woman's a Tomb Raider and she's doing cool shit. My man is just a Jaeger pilot. And so what? He's battling giant monsters. Somebody's got to do it, right? Just let it be John Boyega.
But also, can you just, this cool... And I understand you guys live off sequels, but like one of the reasons I really like Pacific Rim was because it was a completely original idea and not based off a video game. No offense to Tomb Raider. But like, can you also just come up with like some cool original idea? Is that okay? I'm just just come up with some original ideas. It doesn't have to doesn't be off of a video game or
what?
A comic book.
Stop it.
You know, I mean, I love comic book movies just as much as the next person.
As we do.
You know, but let's give some good directors some money to make some original movies so we get some cool stuff and then go ahead and make your sequels from them,
I mean, what John is saying makes sense. It's like, hey, man, Hollywood, when you're writing these movies and it's a spy movie, that spy movie It could be a man or woman.
Yeah.
It could be a brown.
And it doesn't have to be like a woman James Bond.
It nope.
Could it could just be a woman.
Just be a woman spot. That's it.
Like
you want to make a
Angelina
movie?
Angelina Jolie used to do all of these, by the
yeah.
way.
You,
Salt,
yeah.
Salt, Tomb Raider.
You can just do shit. And you know mm-hmm. what, guys? We Wanted. Live in a world now. We don't have to be, you know, gender conformative. It's like, hey, we have a really good script about a super cool action hero who used to be a cop who now wants to get out of the game, but get back in the game. Does it need to be a man or woman? Just find the best person for the movie. That's it. Just, you know, does it need to be a white dude? Nah. It could just be, it could be the Puerto Rican guy. Because you know what? The Puerto Rican guy had the best audition. And you know what? The movie can still make money. Because if it was something we learned this year at the top of 2018 is that diversity makes money. People yeah. are ready to see certain things. You want to watch TV? Atlanta's killing it right now. The Shy killed it, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Grownish. Grownish is giving you gems. We can do shit. Hollywood, I just hope you're learning. I feel like there's resistance. I feel like I read the Forbes article, which I'm pretty sure everyone did, saying, oh, Hollywood doesn't know what to do because Black Panther's fucking stuff up.
It's making too much
money. It's making too much money. Now people don't know what to do because the rest of the tentpoles aren't making money because this black film has broken everything and no one knows how to stop it. Hey, you know what that means? Whatever you think your box is, which probably means you just have a white male lead and low-key a white woman lead, just open that box and realize there's more colors to this rainbow, baby. There's so many more colors to this rainbow, and those colors will help you succeed, Hollywood. Make everything. My thing is this. The moment,
all right, this is a very long letter.
Hit me out, because you started in it, too.
Okay, I know.
But. My end of my letter is the point is that when you think about it, Hollywood, the best thing you could possibly do is open your bag of Skittles and realize the reason these Skittles are really good because there's so many colors and people just want to taste the rainbow.
I'm really not following this metaphor, but thank
the
you.
The rainbow? Because the rainbow's like you a part
are
the rainbow.
Are each Skittle the movie or
no,
the people?
The races are the Skittles, but the Skittles taste good together.
Got it. Because you put people them all
red,
in your mouth.
And black people are the red one because everybody loves the red one. I messed that all up. Whatever, man. Fuck it. We're the red one because everyone loves the red Skittles. You always want the red Skittles. I was going to say the grape Skittles.
Wow. Huh? Okay. Well.
You guys.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah.
You know the movie Pacific Rim Uprising?
Yeah.
We literally
the one we
just
spent,
talked about it.
The one we spent like well over an hour
yeah,
talking
no,
about.
So, right. So, yeah. Right. That movie. So, okay. So, like, while I was watching it, I was like, I was keeping my senses open because I wanted to make sure I was taking in everything that was going on.
Okay.
You know? So because I didn't want to miss nothing. I didn't want to miss no Easter eggs.
Makes sense.
You know? Because they be putting Easter eggs in these movies for other movies, you know?
Okay.
And I realized that this is a movie about, like, it's like people, they get inside of a giant robot.
That's right.
And then they move around with the robot and, like, but it's about how they work together that helps to make the robot move, right?
Yeah.
I realized that this is just like the movie Meet Dave, which stars Eddie Murphy. And I realized that this is a trilogy of movies. It goes,
wait,
it's
what?
Hancock. Yeah, so it's Hancock, is Pacific Rim Uprising, and then it's Meet Dave, right? And so in Pacific Rim 3, whatever Pacific Rim 3 is going to be, they go over into the Kaiju universe, right? And they probably take Meet Dave, like Meet Dave goes, but then Meet Dave goes inside of a Kaiju. So then you got like the little people inside Meet Dave, and then a Jaeger, and then Meet Dave goes inside, you know what I'm saying? Goes inside of a Jaeger, and then it's the little people inside Meet Dave. And then Hancock goes with him.
What does Hancock have to do with any of this?
Hey, James?
Yeah, because Hancock obviously is the superest hero, right?
But he's not a robot, though.
No, he's not, but it's like, but I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. I got to go to the boards. I got to go to the boards and check it out.
What boards?
Yeah,
what boards are you going to?
It definitely doesn't make sense.
The All right. Hancock boards.
Okay.
All right. This was
the Hancock.
It's time for the cost.
That
we
was
rate. Okay. Yeah. That was just didn't make any sense.
I'm going to the boards.
All right. You go to the boards, James. Goodness. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them or how well we think they were made in a critical fashion, but on how much they helped the cause, and the cause being more leading actors of color in Hollywood. So if we think it fully helped the cause, we'll give it a black fist.
Black fist.
If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we'll give it a white palm.
Palm.
And if we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it nothing.
Can people hear me breathing?
So on the count of three, we're gonna give our ratings for this film.
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three.
Got two fists over here. What you got, James?
We got a fist.
We got three fists. Three fists.
Three black fists. I mean,
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
I mean, my thing is, it's nothing for me to say. It's like, again, I thought this movie was real fun. I didn't want to watch it. So the fact that, like, it was exciting and enjoyable. And it was, seeing John Boyega play a part like this just showed me what's missing. You know, like, yeah, man, it was cool to see a black dude get to do this. And it was just fun. And it's like, yeah, man, let my man be a rogue. Let's do it. So yeah, I have nothing more to say. It's just like, it was just fun and good. So yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, just my theater had a good time. People were laughing. Yeah, sure. People will come out and be like, I mean, it was just another movie, but it's like, yeah, but it was well made and John Boyega was a star and you really liked him. It showed his star quality. It showed his blockbuster appeal and international appeal. Hopefully, I think it'll make a decent amount of money internationally. So, you know, it's going to help leading black actors, I think. That's all I got, really. It's nothing profound to say.
I mean, I think this movie's going to help all kinds of leading actors, actors of color, all shapes and sizes. You know what I'm saying? John Boyega did the damn thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like a mad diverse cast, and I really appreciate it. It wasn't like a thing. They didn't have to make a thing out of it, you know? And it was just like great to see it all happen on the big screen.
Yeah, yeah, man, it was fun.
Yeah, so, hey, if it looks appealing to you, even though we just talked about literally the entire movie.
Spoiler alert.
Go
see. Should have did that earlier.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, that was a fun movie, man.
Fun action. Yeah, that's about it. Do we know what we're reviewing for next week? I do have reviews to read because we haven't done this in a while.
I know. We don't. We don't know what's next.
The thing is, we thought Cloverfield Paradox was coming out last week, but then it was actually South by Southwest. So maybe it'll finally come out next week. Sorry about that. We recorded it a while ago. And honestly, it's kind of sad because that movie, it just feels weird to review that movie so long after it came out on Netflix. But hopefully enough of you saw it that you guys will care. And then,
yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll probably finally release that. So anything to plug? Oh, at Black Men Podcast is our Twitter, Instagram, blackmenpodcast.com is our website.
I think I do have to plug.
And if you rate and review us on iTunes, we will read your reviews on air. So do that. You can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock.
James, you want to do your weird
James?
One? Oh. James?
James isn't there.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
I guess this is okay. So I got just 5 episodes of another podcast. You know, if you guys check out Wolverine the Long Night, handling the after show for that called the Marvel After Show. That's on Stitcher. You can just Google Wolverine the Longest Night. You'll find us. Check it out.
Snap.
It's cool.
Is that a podcast?
Yeah, so it's like one of those
premium.
Yeah, it's like one of those what do they call them? Audio drama. So it's like a scripted podcast or whatever. So it was pretty
lit.
Cool. It's about to end soon, I think. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry, I'm ahead. No, actually it's just starting, so I'm wrong. So check it out. Fun stuff. What we got, John?
All right. Okay, you guys ready for these?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's been so long, I don't remember which ones I've read and haven't.
Don't worry. I'll listen to the first one and judge you secretly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Wait. Flip. There's no way I read this. This is a huge essay. This is by Amerika 14. Nick, start the review. I love that. I have wanted to write review for a while now because I freaking love you guys and this podcast. I randomly stumbled upon your podcast early last year with the Dreamgirls episode, and it's still the podcast I most consistently listen to. That one was an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. That
Francesco.
That
was contentious.
I know.
I live in LA, and you guys make driving in the traffic almost bearable on my way from work. This podcast combines two things I love talking about, movies and race. I love John's segues and the way he keeps everything on track. Ugh. James' silly Hancock obsession. Ugh. And Gerard's passionate rants.
There you go.
And the fact that he's from DMV.
Yeah.
Hashtag MoCo.
Okay. I guess that counts. We on the same page. Got it.
Now I think I have read this. Anyway.
I don't read that.
You guys have even changed my minds about some movies I thought were initially good, such as Django Unchained, 42, and Hidden Figures. I appreciate the fact that you guys not only speak out for other people of color, but also empathize the poor portrayal of women in film as well. Basically, if you want to listen to insightful and thoughtful analysis on race and gender in films while also cracking up, this is the podcast for you. I wish you guys the best with whatever your acting careers and whatever future projects you may have. P.S. I can't believe you guys haven't done Hitch yet, being such big Will Smith fans.
Honestly.
Also, have you thought about doing older films such as A Raisin in the Sun or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yes, we have. We thought about all three of those movies, actually.
Now I'm almost positive we read that before, but that was great.
I don't remember that.
That's fine to read it again. Well, I'm going to read this one. This is short. It's Soaked Sandals.
That means you got soaked feet.
From Canada.
Okay.
One of the best. Never Stop the Swirl. I think they stopped listening a while ago.
Yeah, I'm saying we haven't done this for like a year.
But they want us
to
know.
They either stopped listening or started and then haven't caught up yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is Dylan Barry, 21. Thanks for the perspective and the laughs. As a white male who loves movies, I love the perspective you guys give. My first episode was Get Out, and I was hooked by your intelligent takes and hilarious banter. Well, thank you. What you guys do is crucial.
Yo, Dylan!
And I am constantly telling anyone I know to listen to you guys any chance I get. I do worry that I sound like the dad in Get Out every time I share my appreciation for this podcast. You know, I listen to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood every week. Keep it up. Hilarious. P.S. Astronomy Club is dope, too.
That's double awesome. Dope.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. I know Dylan. He's a great dude.
Oh, great.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Well, There's also one that's just from Interminable Pause that says, please do Tangerine. Thank you.
You know, I've been thinking about that one recently because they've been talking about movies shot on iPhones, and I'm like, I want to. I just don't. I mean, I guess we got into the indie thing now. I think we've just, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next week with Cloverfield Paradox, finally.
Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!